I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. That was interesting talking to Ken Carey there, grgrills.com. He's a, I guess what I would call a custom grill fabricator. He's got everything from big smokers to grills to rotisseries.
And he just does it for fun. He's right. Not really trying to sell them. His wife wants him to sell some.
Well, and looking at his website, it's pretty well-made stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is not a hack. This is professional-looking stuff.
And I told you would know that because your dad was a good GM man who worked there for his whole career.
Right.
And was, you know, retired as a pretty smart, authoritative fellow. He knew plenty of Kens.
Right.
They worked for your dad.
Right. Yep.
Right? He worked at that 36th Street plant down in Wyoming, and it still breaks his heart to see an open field there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, NAFTA. Should have listened to Ross Perot.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, man. But anyway, we're going to talk about keep going on this cleaning and refurbing grills.
Refurbing. And what I was telling you on the break is the thought that went through my fat head was, you see all these Sleepy Hollows. I can't think of the other brand. Brinkman. And they all have the same. It's a barrel with a little drop barrel next to it. You've all seen them at Tractor Supply, Costco, everywhere. I don't care who the label is. There's a factory in China that turns out thousands of them a week. And a bunch of that stuff ends up here on our shores. It hurts our domestic production, yada, yada, yada. Doesn't matter. That stuff is in the marketplace now. Likely you've seen it either on the side of the road for free or sitting in your father-in-law's backyard behind the garage because it's the look of shame. And there's still some life left in it. So I want to break down how we can take something ugly like that and turn it into, something pretty.
All right. Give it a rip.
So, basically let's talk about a smoker offset. And you're going to open up the lid. You've got two lids, generally a firebox and then a grill area. You're going to have some grates on there. So you want to pull those grates and you want to try and scrape as much of the grease out of there as you can. And then you're going to go down into the belly and you're going to want to get that ash out. And I would highly recommend scooping it into a can with get yourself a nice little ash shovel because you're going to need one for your fireplace or your fire pit or all sorts of other areas. If you're a freak like we are, you love burning stuff, right? So get a couple little shovels and then clean that baby out. And then get yourself some sort of water-soluble degreaser. Dawn works very well. There's a citric cleaner that works very well. And let's get as much of the grease out of there as we can, and let's take some steel wool to it, or perhaps a little hand buffer, hand grinder with some light, fine sandpaper, and let's get down to that bare metal. Then let's remove the hardware and start taking hinges off, latches, stuff like that, and pay attention. Take some pictures as you go, and then grind the exterior down. Get all that rust off the outside. And if you don't have a hand grinder, good excuse to get one because you got to have a hand grinder. They're just too handy. And then you just put the sanding head on it, and you just basically run it along the thing. You can do it with a little rotary sander as well, but it's a good excuse to get a hand grinder.
Sure, yeah.
And then get it down to bare metal. And then find yourself a fire-rated primer. And I'm going to say Krylon might have it, but you need a high-heat primer. And then you want to get, generally going to go black with a color, but Krylon or there's brands that operate in fireplace shops and paint sections that are specifically hearth products. They're for wood stoves and grills.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of the name right now, but... Then paint it with that and get a couple coats of paint on that body because you're getting it down to clean metal. Let's see how long we can get this thing to last.
Right.
And then, of course, the other thing is once you do get it all painted up, let it cure for a couple days.
Right.
Don't throw fire to it right away.
Right. Yep. Let it dry because once that paint cures, it hardens and then it's a lot more resistant to the heat.
Yep.
And, you know, the metal, part of the problem with metal smokers or metal grills at all, they expand. The metal expands and contracts a small amount as it heats up and cools down, and that moves paint, right? Paint's adhered to that, so that's why you need that primer on there because it really sticks, and then the paint on top of the primer is a great combination to hold that.
Well, now you want to start cleaning up your hardware, painting it, and getting it ready to reassemble. But then you want to season the inside. And I'm going to give you a little secret here for any smoker or grill. Anytime you're working around this product, you can get a spray can of spray-in baking release or PAM or any kind of spray oil like that. Get the cheap one from Gordon's. Works great. It's called a mold cake pan release or something. It's just oil, very fine mist. And then spray that thing down inside really well with that before you do your first cook. Then you get your firebox loaded up, and in your firebox, you know, you can paint the inside or not. I might do some heat-treated paint, but I've mixed emotions on what's more effective with that. But the key is, once you get that thing put back together, get some oil in that and get a fire going and get her heated up nicely so that that metal expands, as Jop was saying, and it absorbs some of that oil, because that's going to be the protective skin. It's not going to be a chemical. It's going to be oil. The chemicals are for the outside. Paint is a chemical. Use that on the outside, and then season the inside. But here's the other cool thing, now that you know this little trick. Let's say you've got an ugly black grill, and what happens to black grills? Well, they get dull, right? They look chalky.
Right.
They fade. You can take a can of that spray vegetable oil. You can spray the whole outside of that grill. Let's say maybe you washed it up, got some of the char and grease and gunk off it. You can spray the outside, especially before you have guests coming over, and then wipe it down with a cotton rag, and that thing shines like a new Cadillac, baby.
Yeah, man.
She just looked good.
Yep, and that's after you've painted it.
Well, that's even the grill that's on your deck now. It's just
okay.
Dull, like that char griller,
right?
Broilmaster you have.
Yep.
That's a good one to get oil on, because
yep,
it's
an aluminum
body.
Yep.
It's painted, but that paint still gets chalky.
Sure it does. Yep. Heat and cool makes it.
Yeah,
makes
you put a little way. You put a little oil on that and wipe it down. And
right.
I learned that from a buddy who borrowed my trailer smoker once, and when he brought it back, it was all shiny. And I said, "What'd you do?" He goes, "I sprayed it with Pam."
Yeah.
It's a genius.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about refurbing a gas grill. When you said that Broilmaster, that's one that had a lifetime guarantee on the guts. So every 5-6 years, I just go back and I have to pay like postage to get the stuff to me. But the guts themselves are free. And maybe you got one of those.
There's
maybe
a lesson right there. Okay, it was $1,100 grill, as I recall.
Yeah.
And
20 years ago.
Yeah, but it's still only about 13 or 14 now. It has not gone up that much.
Right.
You could go down to Lowe's and pick up some China junk for $599. So now you got a $600 grill that is never, ever going to work right.
Right.
Ever.
Yep.
So now you've had yours 10 years. You get free guts. You just got your $600. You broke even.
Right.
In 10, 12 years.
And I had a lot better product to work on.
Way better product. So
right.
Kudos to you. And you bought that before I even had a chance to lecture you.
Right. Yeah. someone else did, I'm sure. But that's how I learn things, is through lecture. Right. But anyway. So, yeah, I mean, it's just take care of your equipment is what this is all about, is that anything that's worth using is worth maintaining. And if it's too far, acknowledge it. Go get a different one.
You have to set yourself up for that, too. You have to, you know, you heard him say, first you got to know what and where you're going to go before you build it, because you're going to have to move it.
Right.
That's absolutely right.
Yep.
The narrow axle I was referring to. So many times I had to get into backyards and that gate was 6 foot.
Right.
That baby don't want to go.
Right. Yep.
So whether you're building one or buying one or just going to maybe cob one up out of an old log splitter trailer you got or whatever it
right.
is, you still have to consider those things. And I would tell you that if you're a grilling freak, and I know half of you at least are, you should give serious consideration to finding some of this old stuff for sale that doesn't look attractive to anybody. But I'll tell you, if the axles are any good at all and the frame is any good at all and there's some sort of body on there, you've got something to work with. And maybe you've got a buddy that can do a little brazing or welding. Maybe you can just screw into place some sheet metal in the bottom or some steel in the bottom that will cover up that rusty hole or whatever. But this is a worthy project, and you should have something in your garage this winter.
That's right. Cool. Well, now that you got it all cleaned up, refurbed, ready to go, this is the time of year when vegetables are plenty. They are everywhere. All the farmers' markets are filled with them. And we're going to do, in the last segment here, a little veggies on the Barbie, because, man, there's nothing better than getting fresh vegetables and throwing them on there.
So walk around the promenade.
All right. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.